Segega case, where Mr. Mwangi is again the lawyer for the petitioner. Yeah. Go ahead.
May it please the court. My client, the petitioner, Eriketa Sikecha, is a native and citizen of Albania who arrived here at O'Hare International Airport and was arrested and detained upon arrival because she presented with a fraudulent document, which she admitted was fraudulent, and during her detention was questioned and answered questions regarding her fear of return to Albania. The claim she presented after having satisfied the authorities that she had a credible fear ended up in front of the immigration judge, who heard testimony from her and considered evidence and received documentary evidence, including the testimony of two witnesses who are experts, one in country conditions and the other a psychiatrist, and eventually ruled that she had not sufficiently met the burden of proof and denied her asylum and withholding of removal because he determined that her claim was not credible and that she lacked credibility herself. The IJ raised 13 different issues that he had problems with that he pinned his adverse credibility determination on. And we, on appeal, deal with them individually as follows. The IJ felt that it was an issue that Ms. Segecha had used a fraudulent passport. However, the board's precedents, matter of Kasinga and matter of Pula, have always permitted use of a passport that is fraudulent in flight, at least until the port of entry, as long as the applicant has declared this as something that he or she did just to save her life. The IJ had problems with her recollection of her husband's assassination or killing, and the IJ argued that she at first had said that he was killed in 1990 in June, but later on said that he was killed June 8th of 1991. Her sister-in-law testified and corroborated her second date, which she explained as a date that had become confused in her recollection, and the psychiatrist also provided an explanation that her trauma had caused her to get certain dates and events confused.
And I think, though, that wasn't the heart of the immigration judge's finding. Didn't it have to do with, you know, the rape and the discrepancies in her stories with respect to the timing and some of the circumstances and how she got to the hospital and sort of questioning whether those would be the kinds of things that she would forget or get confused about?
Yes, Judge Williams. The immigration judge had a problem with the fact that Ms. Segecha would forget the date she was raped because, in the IJ's opinion, such a horrendous date should not escape one's mind. The psychiatrist was of a different opinion because the psychiatrist concluded that she had post-traumatic stress disorder, which has been demonstrated to cause people to erase whole events because the mind tries to forget horrendous events. The psychiatrist also found that because of her depression, she had difficulty remembering, putting exact dates on events and that kind of thing. The judge also had a problem with her recollection of how she got to the hospital, she remembering that she walked slowly to the hospital, at another time remembering that she was assisted to the hospital, which the judge found to be very significant. The judge also took her to task for having given an account of one of her assailants wearing a mask into the room in which he was raped, and then her recollection that he was about 35 years of age and had a mustache, and then, of course, the IJ asking how she knew he was 35 years of age if he was wearing a mask, and on cross-examination she said he had taken the mask off, which the IJ had a problem with because the IJ felt that would defeat the whole purpose of wearing a mask, because in the IJ's opinion the mask was for a disguise. Well, in the first instance, the IJ assumes facts not in evidence because nothing in this record suggests that this particular rapist would wear the mask throughout the whole event. But it also assumes that this rapist was wearing a mask of a particular kind, and nowhere in the record is Ms. Segecha asked to describe the mask. Was this a full-face mask, or was it just a mask that covered the eyes such that the other features of the face could be seen, the mustache and the rest of the face could be seen to suggest the person's approximate age, and you may not be able to see the eyes themselves because the mask looks like the one the legendary Zorro would wear, and that kind of mask may not mask the whole face, but just enough of it so that you can't tell the person's identity, but can tell their approximate age and the fact that they have a mustache. And so there's a lot of incredulity that the IJ expresses, but it is not pinned to any specific facts that one can look at and call legitimate questions of any factual evidence in the record. The IJ rejects Dr. Fisher's opinion of country conditions in Albania and gives the reason that Dr. Fisher assumed that the petitioner would give persuasive testimony, and therefore his whole opinion should be thrown out, whereas Dr. Fisher was giving opinions about country conditions based on his knowledge of Albania as an expert on Albania. Yes, Dr. Fisher stated he had read Ms. Segecha's account, but Dr. Fisher has studied Albania, has studied country conditions, has studied the conflict between all these factions, and based his opinions on what he had studied, not just what this woman had testified to. The IJ also rejected Dr. Bastani's psychiatric opinion because the IJ said it was very short. But the IJ does not say how much longer it should have been or what else it should have contained in order for this to be acceptable to the IJ. And in sum, the IJ says he does not believe what this woman testified happened, does not want to accept what the experts have presented, but does not quite explain why he does not accept these things, and does not say what else he would have expected to be adduced into the record in order for this claim to be believable.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mulongi. Mr. Hathaway?
Thank you, Your Honor, and good morning. May it please the Court. My name is Scott Hathaway, representing the Attorney General in this matter. The petitioner's story in this case is undeniably tragic, if true. And though this Court has recently questioned some of the Board's guidance on definitional issues such as persecution, you will not hear today from this counsel that the story does not amount to persecution under this Court's precedent. So what we're left with, the question in this case, is not the emotional or tragic nature of the petitioner's story, but instead whether this immigration judge, Judge Cuevas, could reasonably have found petitioner's story not credible after having been faced with four different stories on four different occasions of sworn testimony.
On pages 31 and 32 of your brief, you list a number of discrepancies in her testimony. But did the immigration judge discuss any of those? I mean, some of them are quite striking, you know, about her, whether she was rich or whether she was a day laborer or something. But the immigration judge didn't discuss them, did he?
Your Honor, the judge did mention the fact that she had inconsistently pointed out the fact of her vocation. And I then pointed to the different points in the record where she had mentioned different facts about her vocation. But yes, Your Honor, I believe that all of those inconsistencies are at least mentioned in the IJ's opinion, though some are certainly more relied upon than others. And I think that invokes an important point for us to remember today. I know we're all aware of the standard, the substantial evidence standard, but one of the things that the Court instructed us to consider in Elias Zacharias is the record as a whole. And one of the things that I think is important to remember in this case is that Judge Cuevas was not considering simply one inconsistency to support his conclusion that the petitioner was lying or being untruthful across the board. Judge Posner, as you asked in a previous argument earlier today, you know, does one inconsistency make the entire testimony incredible? No, I don't think that's the case. Here, the judge was faced with multiple instances of sworn testimony. The petitioner was given multiple instances, undeniably an amount of due process that should be respected in this case, continuances to allow her to try to corroborate her testimony, points in the record where the judge looks across the table at the petitioner and says, I'm having trouble agreeing with or seeing your point of view. I'm seeing consistencies. Please explain that. One of those instances was the instance where the petitioner, in her sworn affidavit, suggested that a masked man had entered the room, raped her, and then left, where she was subsequently pushed into the street and walked to a hospital. In her testimony before the immigration judge, she said that the man was 35 years old with a mustache and dark hair, and that she was instead driven to Democratic headquarters and then spent a night in a hospital, whereas before she had said that she had gotten out the same day. These are just some of the inconsistencies in the record where the immigration judge looked across the mosaic of testimony and said...
She did produce a medical report from the hospital, did she not?
She did. She produced a medical report that suggested that she had been battered in some way. She had contusions across the face. She offered some pictures that she first claimed were from a beating a couple of years earlier, and then, or maybe that one was a few months earlier. Some of the inconsistencies get mingled. And then later attributed them to the date of the alleged assault by the prosecutor.
Was no mention, though, in the report of rape?
No, there was not, Your Honor. And of course, you know, Mr. Mwangi appropriately points out on in his argument in the brief that you have before you that that one small inconsistency would not necessarily justify the conclusion here. But I do think it's important to keep in mind the number and the different levels of probative inconsistencies that are in the record before us today, a record that extends 535 pages and included all sorts of different kinds of evidence that the immigration judge thoroughly went through, I think, in his opinion. And again, in another instance of Ms. Sagacha's due process that the board considered in her appeal.
What about counsel's argument in terms of the expert that testified as to the status of things in the country? With respect to the expert that talked about her mental condition, I understand that in part he rejected that testimony because it relied a lot on statements she had given, statements that the IJ found were inconsistent. But what about the other expert?
You're speaking of the country condition
right.
expert, the Albanian expert. Judge Williams, I'd first point out that I may have given Mr. Mwangi too much of the benefit of the doubt in April. After reviewing the record more this week, it does not seem that this argument was brought up to the Board of Immigration Appeals and may be a jurisdictional issue. I'll highlight that to you. As it is a procedural issue, it would be something that the board could reverse. But on the substance of this court's treatment of expert opinion and opinions in NIAM, I think it's important to remember what expert testimony is for, and that is that it must be scientific and help the trier of fact, assist the trier of fact. And in NIAM, as completely distinguished from this case, the immigration judge did not find that the expert was in any way unqualified or in any way lacked scientific credibility to make an opinion. He simply found that because his ultimate conclusions about the petitioner's credibility or about the petitioner being persecuted, were all based upon incredible evidence, evidence that that he disbelieved, that his ultimate conclusion that she would go back to Albania and be persecuted had no weight. It was completely unhelpful to the trier of fact. Now, what did that make the Albanian expert's opinion useful for? I think it made it useful for Albanian country conditions, and that was an issue which was completely undisputed in the record. In fact, the judge comes out of the gate in his opinion and says, I've reviewed Albanian country conditions, and I don't in any way find the petitioner's story implausible. In fact, Albania is a rough place where this kind of thing might happen. So with those two things in mind, the first being the ultimate conclusion not being helpful because it's based on incredible evidence, and the second being that the Albanian country conditions were not disputed at all in the record, I think this expert's opinion was given substantially impressive treatment under due process. It was not rejected. It was admitted into the evidence. It was looked at and studied to the extent that the judge knew what it said, knew what it relied on, and explained why he didn't think that it was very useful to his opinion. There is maybe perhaps a technical question, should he have said, quote, no weight instead of substantially little weight, or it doesn't help me in finding facts. I would submit, Your Honor, that if that is in any way a technical error, it is completely harmless, and that remand would serve no function here for the judge to simply change the quote from no weight to little weight, which is clearly what he was doing in the record when he admitted this under the condition that he would admit it subject to his credibility findings of the petitioner's affidavit and sworn statement.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Hathaway. Are you a part of the Office of Immigration Litigation?
No, Judge Posner, I'm with the Antitrust Division.
Excuse me?
The Antitrust Division.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Judge.
Mr. Mwangi, your time expired, but if you'd like a minute, you may have it.
I'd like to respond to Mr. Hathaway's last point. First, post hoc rationalizations are forbidden in these cases under the Supreme Court's precedent, Chenery, the Chenery case. Regarding what Mr. Hathaway calls an inconsistency, when Judge Caney asked him whether rape was stated in the medical report, whether something is included or not does not make it inconsistent. It is either more detailed or less detailed. That's not an inconsistency, and it's
but it would have bolstered her testimony if it hadn't.
It does not, Judge, and Ms. Sigecha was reportedly treated for physical injuries. She had been physically abused. The medical report establishes that, and as we've argued in our brief, rape is included in physical abuse. And in a footnote in our brief, we do argue that the sensibilities in Albania, because of cultural norms and the like, may have prevented the doctor explicitly stating that because of cultural reasons.
And did the expert on Albania testify to that effect? In terms of how the terms are used there in medical records?
I do not recall that specifically, Judge Williams, but again, going to that expert's testimony, again, it's post hoc rationalization to argue that Judge Cuevas said no weight to mean substantially little weight. The judge knows the difference between the words no weight and substantially little. There's no reason why he says no weight meaning substantially little. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. Wong and Mr. Hadaway. And